Hello, welcome to another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm wonderful, Sal. How about you?
Outstanding. Well, we got our favorite recurring guest, one of our favorite recurring guests.
Don't say he's our favorite. It'll go to his head.
Aaron Bledsoe, how are you doing today?
Not bad, yourself.
We're doing good. Doing good. But first, before we get started, with all of your insights, we have to do the question of the day. And this one is, I got to admit, I tailored this one just for Aaron. I knew we'd have a really interesting answer. And Aaron, what is your bucket list hunting trip that you want to do?
So top of the bucket list is New Zealand, going down there to hunt. They have a lot of different animals that just sit way up there on my list. So you've got the red stag, fallow. You've got some waterfowl down there too, like the paradise ducks, and then the black swan down there as well. So
you're going to go shoot a swan.
Yeah. Yep. And I do not feel bad about that. They're not the endangered swans and the protected swans.
Go fish for dolphins and
no, I'm not doing anything like that.
Baby seals. You're going to club some baby seals while you're down there.
No.
Okay, we just got taken off of YouTube.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, my daughter's not going to watch this one, I can tell you that.
We should start over.
Okay, we'll edit that portion out.
New Zealand, that's a long way down there. Isn't that by Australia? No.
It is, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's off the southeast side of Australia, I think.
We need to get a globe in the podcast room.
What direction is southeast of Australia? They're down on the bottom of the world.
Yeah, how much farther can you go? Are you sure southeast?
Yeah. Now, I know that the flight crosses the international date line. So that'd be interesting.
So you fly down,
you lose a day, you fly back, and you come home on the same day somehow. So figure that out.
So technically, you get an extra day of hunting.
Yeah, I wish. That's what I'm telling my wife. It's like, well, babe, when we go back, we gain it, so I might as well stay.
I was going to say, how are you going to sell this to her? What's in New Zealand that would make a vacation?
It's a gorgeous country.
It's a gorgeous country. I mean, I've seen pictures. I know some people have been there. Just not all.
Yeah, I think so. We would, bucket list wise, we'd go down there and I would hunt, but we would definitely spend, 5 to 7 days just touring the country.
Neat.
I think they've got one of the top 10 beaches in the world down there. Queenstown's supposed to be gorgeous. Yeah, they just got a lot. If you like nature, I think it's a place to go from what I've been seeing.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting.
It is.
Jeff, you've got a animal on your wall in your office, I've seen. It's got
horns
on it.
But my bucket list is probably not something my wife would be interested in attending, but I want to go on a helicopter hog hunt.
That would be exciting, where you hang out the window and...
Yeah, absolutely. You're basically the door gunner.
Do they play Apocalypse Now?
Yeah. I had not thought about that, but now I want to set up a hunt, and I want that Apocalypse Now music blasting. And
Jeff will get there. I just love the smell of napalm and burnt pigs in the morning. Well, that would be exciting.
Hey, we could do a podcast from the helicopter while we're shooting hogs.
I am sure South Markle, we got a helicopter company that we work with. I'm sure they'd take us down there and fly us around.
Perfect. There we go. Let's set it up.
Shoot prairie dogs. And
we'll go, Aaron.
No, I'm down.
I'm figured. Down.
And we're doing conservation, a big hand there. I mean, farmers down there hate hogs. Yeah. We're just doing everything.
They are a nuisance.
We're here to serve the farmer, and that's one way
we get into.
Yeah, that's one way we can help serve the farmer right there.
Oh, this one's bad. Yeah. Well, mine is nothing like this. I remember years ago, a guy told me that he went fishing on the Amazon, and he said that it was the best experience just from fishing standpoint. They took like a big houseboat up the Amazon River and would go off in smaller boats and fish. And he said it was just amazing.
So this turned into a fishing. trip and not a hunting trip.
Well, you got to hunt for the fish.
Okay.
And then you fish.
But we'll let you have that.
Okay. I mean, other bucket list hunting stuff. I mean, yeah, I think I've done quite a bit, but it would be fun to go back up into Canada again. I mean, we went to Alaska and bear hunted up there, and that was a lot of fun. It was unguided and pretty neat.
That would be cool.
Yep.
That would be really neat going up there and seeing the Yukon and just the wild part of that.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It'd be neat just to experience the sheer size of Alaska up there. Yeah. I don't think anybody can comprehend it until you go there, probably.
Yeah. It is one of those states everybody needs to go see it. It's because it is incredible.
I always thought I'd like to fly up there and then drive back, rent something and drive it back, drive up through the Yukon or take the train.
Just take your personal vehicle up there.
Yeah. Dirt roads all the way.
We probably ought to get them back on track.
You think? Okay. Yeah. Aaron, tell us about the grain markets. We've had some activity here recently. So what is going on in the world?
Yeah. Markets have treated us pretty well here in the last 60 days. You know, for the nearby corn, you know, if we look at kind of the, when everybody's done with harvest, let's say 1st of December, that first trading day was December 2nd. You know, corn was somewhere around that 428 mark. Now we're at 490, 491 on the live data right now. So, you know, you're looking at a 63 cent rally, and that's phenomenal, especially going into what we had thought last year was we were going to have a huge yield of 183, really good, blow the yield record away by a long shot. So to get us a 63 cent rally, it's been really nice to see. Beans, we've gone from 991 to about 1046 mark. So about a 55 cent rally as well on the nearby. So that's been really good to see. We've seen farmers being incentivized by the rally, and they've started to let stuff go. So we're seeing basis soften in our neck of the woods due to the selling pressure coming off the farm. But the rally continues to hold. Today's been a little bit tougher. Beans are down 15, but I think we're just going to yo-yo a little bit on that front. But we've shown pretty good signs of being able to lose 15, but then we'll gain it back the next day and add a little bit to the top. But we're getting to some levels that we're going to start seeing some pushback on the nearby prices. Just psychologically, that $5 corn mark on the futures and that $11 bean mark, those are just tough spots to break through. Now, if we break through them, that'll be great. But it's been tough. We've not shown the ability to break through it yet. So,
well, we're right here at the end of January, just to kind of give everybody a time reference, and you know, end of January 2025. So you say we're kind of pushing up against some of those psychological barriers of $5 corn. As you look into your crystal ball and you're looking into February, I mean, are we going to break through? Or if Aaron Bledsoe had to make a prediction?
Boy, that's a scary spot to be in.
We can edit this later, right?
Yeah. No, I think if I look at what has gotten us here, I think kind of helps me get an idea of where this thing could go. 2 months ago, I didn't think corn had much. I was very scared of it. Yeah. Still I am. But, you know, what has kind of fueled it so far is in January, the USDA report came out. They lowered the yield on corn. They took a significant swing at it. I think it was almost 4 bushels off of what they had projected. So still a really good yield. I mean, we're still in the 179, phenomenal yield, but that was a really big shot in the arm. Beans, they lowered the yield as well, which kind of fits with what we thought throughout fall. In pockets, it didn't feel like we had the record or as big of a yield number as they were suggesting. So that's kind of what has gotten us to this point. With all those things changing, we saw the ending stocks to use rate lower, corn's down around that 10% mark now. So that gets it into that frame of mind where we feel okay, but it wouldn't take much and we're below that 10. And that's when it starts to reward the markets and starts pushing it up. Beans, on the other hand, you know, We're at 8.7 percent. Anytime we're below 5, that's really, really tight. Beans are seeing 4 years of an increase in the stocks to use rate. So if I take that information just for the U.S. by itself, and the fact that we have a lack of tariffs right now, you know, with this new administration, that was a big fear of what are the tariffs going to do. Right now, China's buying the crap out of beans. I don't know if it's because they're afraid of potential tariffs coming, but if they just need it. You know, is it a signal that South America is not as good? I don't think that's the case. I think it's just a matter of we haven't seen tariffs implemented yet, so they're buying it. So all that said, if I look at the U.S. and how it looks right now, for this old crop, I think we're getting into some areas where we're going to see some resistance. I think this board has really given us an opportunity to lock in some really good prices compared to where we were. So I think we could be flatlining a little bit possibly on old crop for corn and beans. Beans, I feel like we're starting to run into a timing issue of seeing any more rallies because the South America crop's getting ready to come online. They're a little delayed, especially Brazil with some rains and stuff, but eventually they're going to get that crop going or crop harvested. And that, I think, is really going to put a damper on what this thing's going to do. So you know, to answer your question.
Well, I'd heard a little bit about the weather down in Brazil. They were having some problems in South America, but I never know whether is that just, is that real? I mean, who do you listen to? And I mean, is it a
big deal? Yeah, I was going to wonder if it's local or how widespread is it and how big of an impact will it be?
Yeah, I think who I listen to, it's just a bunch of different things that I read. So spread out your sources and somewhere in the middle, if someone's saying it's super, super dry and someone's saying it's super, super wet across the entire country, somewhere in the middle is probably the truth, you know? But a lot of the focus is on that Mato Grosso area and some of that central stuff where the big production comes out of. I think that's where they're saying some of the it is a little damp. But again, you know, we're talking about a commodity market that trades weather and any snippet. If they don't have anything else to trade right now, you know, because volatility is what creates margins and things like that. So if they don't have much on the docket, you know, if we've already processed a lot of the news, any kind of weather is going to, you'll see an exaggerated movement. Hmm. I'm not sure the weather's really anything to get all gun-hoed about right now. But I do think it plays a little bit more of a role for like that second crop corn down there. And that's their second crop or their Safrina corn is the one that hits the export market. So as far as, you know, old crop corn, where this thing could go, I think we, you know, basis is saying one thing. Basis is saying the U.S. farmer is selling the corn on these rallies because it's softening. But the futures are saying that we do have a tighter supply than we thought we did. So if the second crop corn in Brazil gets delayed in planting, historically speaking, we've seen delayed planting equal lower yields down there. So if that's the case, then maybe there's some room for new crop corn to rally on the short term. My big fear for new crop corn is the acreage shift that a lot of people are predicting out there. And even some of the local things that I'm talking to, it feels like it may just be a natural transition because of crop rotation. But there's the potential for some pretty big corn acreage out there right now.
Well, that was going to be my next question is what do you see in new crop and what are the local farmers telling you? So you kind of jumped in there and started to answer that. And I've heard estimates, I think, you know, corn acres could be up 3.5 million acres over last year. What are you hearing?
Basically the same thing. It's too early to tell. But I'm seeing the same numbers, you know, 2.5, 3.5 million, you know, so if you take the average 3 million, so instead of what we had last year at 90.6, we're going to be talking like 93 million acres or 94 potentially. And with a rally like this, it does start to make people think, well, hey, you know, if South America, their second crop corn doesn't get planted and it's going to suck. If the stocks to use rate's coming down, man, corn's got upside galore. You know, we're going to go back to $6 corn. I'm not sure we get back to that level, but corn does seem to have a little bit more of a story right now as far as to rally. But that acreage shift really makes me nervous. You know, and production is not just acreage. You know, production is yield too. So we have to have the weather and the nutrients to produce that crop. But I think, I think new crop corn prices, as we get past that March prospective planning report at the end of that month, I think we're going to know more. So I think timing is a big thing right now. I think right now we're seeing good rallies. I hate to lose out what we have, especially if new crop prices are a black number for you. So targets right now have been phenomenal because we never know when that day is going to be that we catch a 25 to 30 cent run, especially on beans. We've seen that. We've had targets where it's like, man, we're getting close, and then, you know, we're still 20 cents away. Let's leave them. Let's not, you know, let's just see what happens. Man, they hit. And we've had a couple of them that they literally hit the high, they broke it, and then they retreated that day. We've had several where they're on the top side, and then they retreated to the bottom side. But because we had them in there, we got it. So it's been really nice to see. Mentalities have been a little bit better. But that acreage shift is real, I think, especially locally. Some of the people I've been talking to, they're starting to look harder at new crop for fall delivered stuff because they know they're not going to be able to hold it. So March is going to be a big month. You're going to see the quarterly stocks report. You're going to see the prospective planning report. That'll be a big one. How much do we still have on the farm? That's a big question. And with the acreage shift, who knows?
Do you feel like we've made, you know, pretty good inroads to moving some of that product off the farm, or do you think there's still quite a bit out there?
You know, this time last year, it felt like there was still a lot on the farm. Not many people were talking about it, which made it feel like there was a lot. And we finally saw it in August arrive. It seemed like the end users and the farmers were playing a game of chicken as far as when it was going to move, because the commercial storage was lower than the year before, but the on-farm was substantially higher. So it felt like at some point they're going to have to move. This time around, I will be curious for that report. I don't think there's very many beans left out on the farm. I feel like those have moved probably. Corn, I just don't know. You know, I think it's probably more of a localized thing. We didn't have, there's been some pockets down here in our area that didn't quite have the yield that they thought they were going to have. And beans suffered too. So I don't think there's as much left out on the farm this time around as there was last year for our area. I think there's some pockets that probably have a lot left. And what's crazy is I still read reports saying that there's still some, I don't know what you old crop left over for, you know, that they carried over from last year on top of what is now considered old crop that they just harvested. So I think that's going to be the big one potentially, that and the acreage shift. But I think that quarterly stocks report is going to tell us a lot.
Well, they break through that $5 ceiling. Maybe some of that old crop will show up.
Yeah, and we are seeing it show up. I mean, we're seeing at least the guys that I talked to aggressive selling. We're seeing it at the river with the basis levels falling back. Like I said, we have seen incentivized selling. Even the end users are. Typically, that April, May is a really good time to see a little bit of a basis rally or premium because, you know, the producer's out in the field putting a crop in the ground. So you usually see a little bit of an incentive to deliver in that window because it's tougher for them to deliver because they're busy. You know, they're wrapped up with stuff. And we're seeing softening in that time frame. So that tells me guys are willing to let go when we see rallies like this. So,
you know, another thing that you said, and I hear you say this all the time when you're working with customers about, hey, you need to set targets. I've heard you preach that. When you made a comment that we've been hitting these targets, we've had the targets in place. Can you speak to a little bit more of that? You know, how does that, I mean, I'm sure your customers are pretty happy with that, but can you speak to the target setting and what you're seeing there?
Yeah. So really simple premise, and any of your you know, for anybody that's not in our area, just get a hold of your local merchandiser. Anybody can do them. All you're doing is you're saying, at this price, I'm willing to let go of it. And so then your merchandiser, or, you know, myself, we put in an open order on the market. And if it gets to that point, it locks that order in. So you have a firm contract. You know, it's basically saying, I have the intention of selling at $475. And so I put that open interest out there, and if it hits, then you have a firm contract instead of an intention, you know. So what one of the watchouts is you don't want to be calling a bunch of different locations. You know, if you have 10,000 bushels, you don't want to be putting in a 10,000 bushel contract with this person and a 10,000 bushel contract with this person, and then they both hit, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got 20,000 bushels, but you only got 10. So, you know, you just want to be mindful of that, because when you do set a target, that is a firm intention of doing it. And, you know, if you want to pull it, you need to be in constant contact with your merchandiser as well. So the nice thing about it, and I preach targets because it's a very simple premise. You know, there's a lot of other things you can do. Like, we do the average contract. I'm actually getting ready to start one for the month of February for fall delivered stuff. Never done a February one before. Usually do it the months of May and June for fall and January delivery. We're going to do it this year for February, because we've seen this rally. So I hate not to take part and at least reward the market somewhat. And if we keep getting some positive news, maybe we get another 30 cents on the corn and another 60 cents on the beans. Who knows? But well, let me, yeah, put targets you, are just super simple. It takes the emotion out of it, yeah, is what it does.
Let me put you on the spot. Sal's got 10,000 bushels of corn in his bin.
Yep. And barn. It's in the barn.
Okay.
Okay.
And you're going into February of 2025. What's a mm-hmm. target that you would work with Sal and try to get him to set?
So it's going to vary on location and their basis. But like for me right now, let me get the live market up to give you.
I love putting you on the spot.
Yep.
It's not bad at all. Makes me do some work.
Well, it's Thursday, so it's about time you did some work this week.
Yeah.
While he's doing that, Aaron's recovering. We've had a round of sickness going through the whole communities, every one of them. And
tis the season.
Oh, my gosh. It started before Christmas, didn't it?
Yeah, it just kind of moves around community to community.
All right. So if you say, how many bushels again?
10,000.
10,000. Okay. First question is do you want to let go of all 10,000, or do you want to do it in stages? You know, do you want to take a piece out of this?
Let's do all 10.
Because if you want all 10. Okay. So all 10, I'm assuming you're probably a little bit more aggressive and because you're just going to let go of all of it. Okay.
I'm going to buy a new skid steer.
Yep. Okay. So then that answers the next question, more of timing. You know, when do you need to have this done?
Within 60 days.
So in the next 60 days. Okay. So that tells me I probably don't want to be super, super aggressive with the target. So with the future, March futures sitting at 491 right now, local basis of 30 under, you're at 461. Okay. This market has shown that it'll run up 10, 15 cents every once in a while. You got 60 days. So then it's a matter of, okay, do you want to put more of like a timestamp on this thing? So if we're at 461, let's say we shoot for a 480, but let's put a timestamp on it too. So in 3 weeks, if we haven't gotten there, let's reassess where we're at. Or if we start in a week, you know, since we have cash bids posted and you can get text messages every day about where the bids are, you can also see that. And if we start trending down, then we need to have that conversation again to reassess, okay, some things have changed in the marketplace. We don't feel as good about it. Let's just take what we have. Let's get out. Let's secure what we have and move on. And then let's start talking about new crop. Okay. So it's super easy. It's just, but again, it goes back to that emotion. You're just coming up with a plan and you're verbalizing that plan, which all of a sudden, when you start doing that or having a written plan, it's not that the emotions aren't there. They're still there. But you've kind of taken control of the situation instead of just sitting there and the moment of not doing anything is just tearing you apart of, do I sell at this or do I wait? And just not having that plan just stresses you out almost to the point of, well, I'm here. What do I do now? Instead of, okay, well, I've already got a plan. I'm here. It's done. So if you didn't have to move all 10, I would say, let's do a third. Let's break it up into thirds. Or if you need more of that, let's do it 50-50. You know, let's do 5,000 at this. And then let's have another one sit out there and say, okay, if the first 5,000 hits, let's reassess and see what we can do for the next 5,000.
Okay. So if a grower wants to do this, but then did you come into the grain office there at Ligoti, or can you do it over the phone, or what's the process?
Yeah, you can do it over the phone. I mean, by all means, you can come easy in. Peasy. Yeah, super easy. And that's, you know, we try to make it easy. You know, targets, average contracts, they're all, those are free from us. They're just structured plans. It is all they are. And there's really no work on the farmer's end outside of just talking to us and coming up with a plan that they're comfortable with. We do not want to push you into something that you're not comfortable with. We want you to be comfortable. And that's why I start a lot of the times with the conversation of, okay, does this number work for you? Because if the number doesn't work for you, then that's a different conversation. Are we trying to limit losses, or are we trying to, you know, maintain a black number or get a little bit more out of it?
Okay.
You mentioned having you can get the prices texted to you every day. How do they sign up to get that? And do you have an app?
We do. So currently we're going to be making that transition away from, right now we have Premier Ag, it's powered by Bushel. You can look it up. That's still going to be live for about another 60 days or so. We're going to be moving to the Premier Connect app. So that's where the entire Premier Ag and Premier Energy, all of that is going to be lumped in together. So if you download that app, you can go ahead and download it. When grain comes online, all of a sudden you'll just see the grain tab light up, and you'll be able to get it then at that point. As far as signing up for daily cash bids or announcements or hours and things like that, all you'll have to do is there'll be a way to go in there and to select saying, I want cash bids for these locations sent to my phone or emailed to your email.
Very good.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Great tools.
I got one other question. Just locally, we had all that snowfall that we're not used to in Southern Indiana. Did that slow grain movement up quite a bit? I mean, I know there were a few things, some things froze up that we weren't used to freezing up. But it seemed like we had there was about 2 or 3 weeks there where we couldn't really move around very well. Did that mess us up, or is that more of a local issue for moving grain?
I want to say a little bit more of a local thing. Yeah. Grain still moves, but you saw locations struggle. You know, at my location, I froze up. And I just, it was a struggle, but most people didn't want to get out because it was so cold. That was the thing. Like the snow is one thing. Once you get it cleared, it's fine. But when you start getting into those temperatures that we had for locations that usually aren't, for producers and commercials that usually aren't used to having 20 some days of those types of temperatures, that's when it starts to put a strain on it. But for the most part, yeah, there really wasn't much of a story. I mean, it was a couple of days where I was more worried about the ice south of us. You know, what does that do? Does it break power poles? You know, that's more of a scary situation when you have that much ice. And I think we saw some of those locations shut down for a day or two. They got back up and going.
Very good. All right. Jeff, anything else?
No, that was interesting.
That is. As always, Aaron, thank you so much for your insight.
That's no problem.
All right. Well, that's another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Please like and subscribe. Thank you.